Well, good morning to everybody. I'm so glad to be back with you here this Sunday. I was here a little while back, a few months ago or so, and glad to be back with you. My name is Scott Hobbs, and I'm the director for our Association of Churches. We have 65 Southern Baptist churches in Benton County, and I get to encourage those churches, minister to those churches, and come alongside them in any way that I can. It's a privilege for me today to fill in for Wade, your interim pastor. And I want you to know that I pray that your church is led by the Holy Spirit as you're seeking that person that you want to lead your fellowship here. And also tonight, it's exciting that you're going to have an opportunity to consider a youth pastor moving forward. So that's exciting, and I'm very happy for the progress that you're making. I introduced myself a bit last time I was here, but just so you'll know a bit more about my family. We've been in the area for about 4 years now. I grew up in South Arkansas. My wife grew up in Fort Smith. My wife teaches school in Springdale. I have three sons. My oldest one, who happens to be visiting with his wife and our first two grandchildren this weekend. And they live up in Omaha, and he's a neurologist at the University of Nebraska there, medical center. And I have two sons who are students at Wachita Baptist down in South Arkansas. So that's our family. And so I count it a privilege to be able to be here with you today and to encourage you, I pray, from God's Word. It was a privilege to hear from these missionaries from Haiti, to think about the work that they do, and to think about the great need that they're meeting there. It's humbling, and it's something that I pray that we would always keep in our thoughts and minds as American Christians, the needs that these missionaries have and the great work that they're doing around the world. And so I'm so glad to be able to hear that testimony from them this morning. Now let me begin this morning with an observation or two for you. I've noticed this, that when my father-in-law is driving his car, sometimes he gets to looking at something off to the side and the car starts going that direction. Have you ever noticed that before? You know, it starts kind of edging over that way because he's really studying, looking at something, and then I'm going, wait a minute, you know, okay. You know, so, and that happens, and I probably do that myself. My wife would probably say the same thing about me. But, you know, wherever we look, what direction we look, that's the way we tend to go. That's the way we tend to go. Not just that, not just where we look determines where we go, but what we look for determines what we find. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I had three older brothers, and my brother, who was just 2 years older than me, Keith, he got a metal detector. Back in those days, metal detectors were this strange box that had a handle on it with a pole and a circle on the bottom, and you would turn it on and you would put it over the grass or somewhere like that, and it would be totally quiet until it found a little piece of metal, right? And as soon as it found that little piece of metal, beep, 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 it'd start beeping, right? Because it found what it was looking for. I don't know if you've ever been to the beach and seen people out there and they have metal detectors and they're looking for, I don't know, jewelry or something like that. They're looking for metal. And even though that metal detector looks through a whole lot of things, like in our backyard and my brother would use it, it's looking through St. Augustine grass, it's looking through the roots, it's looking through all those bugs and dirt. And the only thing that actually sets the alarm off is that metal, because that's what it's looking for. In a very similar way, you and I, as we go through life, we find what we're looking for. When we tune our minds to think in that direction, we look over a whole lot of other things until our mind actually allows us to focus in on that thing that we are intent on finding. Now, I bring those two up for you today because this is the introduction for my message today, and that's basically this: the direction that we look in life is important because we're going to move that way, and the things that we're looking for is important because that's ultimately what we are going to find. Now, in a very unique verse in Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 in the Sermon on the Mount in God's Word, Jesus speaks about this issue that I think is very important in our day today, and that has to do with what we're looking for, what we're focusing on, the direction of our thoughts. If you would stand with me, and let's read quickly Matthew chapter 6, verse number 22, And we'll read this from God's Word, and then we'll have a prayer together. Jesus said this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, the whole body will be full of darkness." This morning, we're going to talk about what Jesus was referring to there. And we're going to talk about what we give our attention to, the direction of our thoughts, and the focus of our minds, and how important it is. So let's bow together for a prayer. Father in heaven, we live in a day when there are a lot of things vying for our attention. A lot of things trying to get our focus, trying to pull us away, trying to get us to think and to give our attention to them. But Lord, throughout your word, we're told again and again how important it is that we give our attention to those things that are good, those things that are wholesome, those things that can lead us toward godliness and good things for our life. We pray, Father, this morning that you could help us understand your word and for it to touch us in a real way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. In this passage of Scripture that I read to you just a moment ago, three main things it talks about, and I'll just describe them for a second for you. The first one, it talks about the eye. He says the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. This refers, of course, to what we focus upon, what we look to, what we give our attention to. You know, the Bible tells us in a lot of different places, it will say things like this, like it does in Hebrews. It says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith." It matters what you look at. It matters what you look toward. Not just that, but it uses the expression, the lamp. The eye is the lamp of the body. Meaning the eye is the means through which light can come into your heart to the depth of your being. It's what can light you up. Or, if it's not used properly, it's what can bring darkness. It's the lamp of the body. It's almost like a window that can either let the light in or not. And then the final thing that he speaks of here, it says, if the eye, which is the lamp of the body, is good, if it's healthy, if it's sound, if it's looking toward things that are wholesome and good, then your whole body will be full of light. It will enable you in your life to move in good directions and to move toward good things and fill you with something that's helpful deep within you. And then to add a little extra punch to what Jesus said here, he added the next verse, which I didn't read to you, but then he said this, almost with a desperate tone to it. He says, "If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" In other words, he was saying, if the only source of you to receive this potential goodness coming into your life, if it is polluted, if it's not healthy, then the devastation in your life is going to be obvious. It's going to be impactful to your life. You know, I don't know that you would probably agree with me or not, but we live in a day when there's a lot of things that are trying to get our attention. You know, advertisements, social media, the news media, these telephones that we carry around with us constantly, they're all endeavoring to try to get our minds to focus upon something. Either it's something, a post on whatever site it may be, whether it's a new article that's come out on some news station or whatever it may be, or a product they're trying to sell. There are things that we're constantly being barraged with to kind of get our minds to move in that direction. You know, they call this, in modern day America, the attention economy, when we have so many things competing for our thoughts. Now, in that context, it's wise for us to stop and think about what Jesus says here about how important it is that we direct our thoughts toward those things that are helpful and look for those things that are good, so that, like Jesus said, our hearts, our souls, our inward being can be full of light, not full of darkness. Now, what I want to give to you today is something very simple that I hope that you could take home with you today that would help you on a daily basis if you would do this. This would apply to you whether you're serving as a missionary in Haiti or whether you are teaching school in Rogers or whether you are redoing a house. I was talking with somebody earlier about that. All these different things that we are involved in, this would help all of us if we think along this line every day. And what I'm going to instruct you to think about and to do is this. I want to encourage you to do these things to every day: to look up, to look down, to look back, and look forward. Say that with me if you would. Look up, look down, look back, and look forward. Look up, look down, look back, and look forward. Every morning, this is what I want you to think about, because this can put your mind in a place where you can be open to the light, to the goodness that Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 6. First of all, we're going to talk about looking up. Looking up. We are to, my recommendation for you is to look up and to look up in faith every day. To look up in faith. I love the verse in Psalms 121 that says this: I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, what a difference it would make for us if every day we looked to the heavens and we looked in faith for God to be the God He's promised He wants to be in our life every day. As we look up in faith, our minds are opened, our hearts are open, and our lives are surrendered to the greater, the creator, the one who put us here, the one who loves us and demonstrated his love to us in Christ Jesus, to look up in faith. You know, I was teaching a seminar not too long ago in a group of 30 or 40 people, and we were talking about things that refresh us, what things fill our tanks, you know, those things that make us feel happy and kind of rejuvenate us. And one lady in the group said, what I find that rejuvenates me is, she said, quote, wide open spaces. And when I heard that, I thought, that's kind of an odd expression to think about in this context. But as I thought about it a little bit more, it made a whole lot of sense. A wide open space. You know, we, like my family, is going to be going to the beach here in a few weeks. You go out to the beach and you stand on the sand and you look out on the ocean, right? And there's something about it that's comforting. There's something about it that's relaxing. There's something about it that just kind of settles your soul a little bit. Or we go on to Beaver Lake, which I was out last night with my two of my boys on our boat out there on Beaver Lake, just in the evening hours, and you're out there in the middle, it's all open, the sky is above you. It's just kind of relaxing. It's just something about it. Or we go to the mountains, and we do the same thing. We go to the mountains, we find a little vista, we can stop and look out over the wide open spaces, and there's something about it that just relaxes us. I think it's because it helps us to take our place before the Creator, the vastness of His creation, and it makes maybe our problems seem a little smaller when we're in the presence of something so massive, so large. Well, listen to what that verse said. I lift my eyes to the hills. I look up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So every day, when you begin your journey, when you begin trying to live out the Christian life that God has called you to live out, I would encourage you to first look up, to look up, and obey those scriptures that say, like I said earlier, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Or elsewhere, like in Colossians, where it says, set your mind on the things that are above, it tells us. And you know what? There's a very unique verse in Daniel chapter number 4 where Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had gone through a time in his life where he had lost his mind. He had gone basically insane. And then it says this, that Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, he said, I raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. That's what I'm encouraging you to do every day. Look toward heaven. Look up and trust. And look up in faith. Look toward heaven. Look up and look for faith. And trust and take your place in His care before Him. So first of all, we look up and we look up in faith every day. Second, we look down and we look down in compassion. We look down in compassion. We look down toward those around us that we might encounter on a daily basis who need things, need help, need encouragement, need blessing. You remember this verse from Matthew chapter 9 in the Bible, it says this, that when Jesus saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the crowds. Jesus looked into the eyes of the people that were coming to him. Jesus took notice of the struggles that they were facing, and it stirred Jesus' heart. The word that's used there for felt compassion means he felt it deeply in his gut. It touched him profoundly to see the needs of people around us. You know, we as Christians, every day, we need to look up in faith, but we also need to look down toward the people around us that we might encounter that we can be a blessing to, that we can be an encouragement to, that we can be a witness to, that we can connect with in order for Christ's love to flow through us into their life. You know, we as Christians, we should never be bored. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of hurt. There's plenty of lost people. There's plenty of people struggling, and we as Christians should always have many things that we could direct our energies toward ministering in this world. And I would encourage you to be about the business of looking for opportunities to do just that. You know, our society is changing around us dramatically. We can all feel that. We all sense that. And a lot of things are transpiring in our day that are unsettling and disturbing to us. And even though things are changing all around us, one thing that will never change is the role that we have to play in the midst of all this change. And that is to be the people of God in this setting that God has placed us in, reaching out to other people in the name of Christ to minister, to love, to share, to draw them to the Jesus that we have come to know. And every day we should be looking for opportunities to do just that. So we look down, and we look down in faith. You know, I remember preaching a funeral a number of years ago in the previous church I pastored in the Chicago area. We were up there for almost 19 years pastoring a church before we moved back to Arkansas. And a lady in our church, her name was Phyllis, and she was a retired school teacher. And when I preached her funeral, there were over 200 people in attendance at her funeral. And she died in her late 70s. And I remember as I was standing up there looking at the people, I thought to myself, you know, one thing about Phyllis that happened to me is that even I was her pastor, but she wrote me regular notes of encouragement. I received maybe 3 or 4 different notes of encouragement from her. And so I, just on a lark, I asked everybody in attendance, I said, how many here have received a note of encouragement from Phyllis? Everybody in attendance raised their hand. There were over 200 people there. Everybody raised their hand. They put their hand down. And then I said, how many of you received more than one letter of encouragement? And everybody raised their hand again. That was her life of encouragement, of blessing. And I can still remember some of the phrases that she used in the letter or two that she wrote to me to encourage us as a family during a challenging time. You know, us as Christians, we ought to always be looking for opportunities to be a blessing to other people, to minister to other people, to bring some compassion into their life, and to point them toward Christ. You know, we as humans have a very unique capacity, and that is to connect with sympathy, with empathy with other people, and to minister through that empathy. You know, if I like to use this illustration, this is a grand piano over here. If you had another grand piano over here on this side of the room, and if I were to go over here, raise the top on this, and pluck one of the strings in this piano, did you know that on this piano over here on the other side of the room, that the very same string in that piano would begin to vibrate in response? Did you know that? I had a friend who was just retired recently. He was a piano tuner. That was his life. That was his life's work, and he worked at Ole Miss University. And I texted him and asked him if that was true. He said, it's absolutely true. It's called a sympathetic echo. That's exactly what happens when people minister and connect with each other. When you look at a Haitian child, like one of the videos that on the screen that we saw, or you look at somebody that you go to school with who's going through a hard time, or you look at somebody that you work alongside and you see a hardship, you see a difficulty, you see a pain, and something inside of you begins to go, oh, I feel that. I want to do something to help. That's empathy, that's sympathy. And when you minister to that person, there's a connection there that takes place. And there's ministry, and God uses that. And we have that ability, not just as humans, but even more so as Christians. So we every day, we also want to look down in compassion to meet needs of those that are around us. So we look up in faith, trusting God for our day to be who He said He would be. We look down in compassion, and then we look back on the life that we have lived, and we look back in gratitude. Gratitude. You know, the Bible throughout its pages encourages us to give thanks to God. It encourages us to let this set the framework for our perspective on life is thankfulness. You know, the Bible says things like this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Bible encourages us to have that attitude of gratitude that we've heard about through the years. Listen to this psalm, Psalms 103. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits. And listen to this list. Listen to this menu of things to be grateful for. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desire for good things. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise the Lord. Be thankful, be grateful for what God has done for you in your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He was a man who suffered a lot in his life and took a strong stand for Christ, and was put to death just a few weeks short of his concentration camp being liberated during World War II. And he was a man of great faith who inspired many of those inmates that he suffered alongside. He was a pastor in Germany. And he said this. He said, it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. In other words, it doesn't matter how much or how little you have, but the key is being grateful. That is where the richness of life comes from. That's where the happiness of life comes from. And the Bible tells us that again and again. Be thankful. Be thankful. Look back over your life and see the things that God has brought you through. See the blessings that He's brought into your life and be appreciative of those. You know, I noticed something some time ago when I was reading that familiar Old Testament story of King Solomon. You remember after David, toward the end of David's reign, and Solomon was going to become the new king of Israel. And the Lord comes to him and says to Solomon, you know, he's implying that in this new role that you're going to play, I want to give you an opportunity. And he says to Solomon, whatever you want of me, ask me and I will give it to you. You remember that story? And Solomon thinks about it for a moment. But as I read through that, you know what I noticed? That the very first thing that Solomon said to the Lord after he gave him that blank check and said, ask me of anything, was this. Solomon said in so many words, but Lord, you have already been so good to me and my family. It was like Solomon was saying, Lord, I don't really need anything else from you because you have already blessed my family in so many ways. And he goes on about how God had blessed him and his father's house of David for several verses there, even before it gets to the point where he actually asked him for what the Lord had mentioned to him. Now, isn't that extraordinary? And I'd have to think that the Lord in heaven looking down at Solomon, who had just given this great opportunity, and the first thing he says, God, I am so grateful already for all that you've given me. I don't really need anything else. And I would imagine a smile coming on the face of the Lord, if we can refer to him in that way. And I would imagine an overwhelming feeling of just appreciation for that individual because that level of gratitude. And you know what happened then, don't you? In that context of gratitude, he said, okay, Lord, this is what I want. I want understanding, insight, discernment, wisdom to govern the people that you've put into my care. And then the Lord says, you know what, Solomon, since you asked me for that, and in my thinking, he's also saying, because of the attitude that you've asked within, he says, I'm going to give you all those things that you didn't ask for as well, like wealth and like a long life and like protection from your enemies, those things that most people would have asked for. Wouldn't it be something that if our prayer life was more like that? Lord, you've already done so much for me. I don't really need anything else. God, your blessings have rained on my life for so long, and I appreciate all those things already in place. What a perspective. And that's what the Lord has called us to in his word, and that is to be people who look back regularly in gratitude. So every day, we look up, and we look up in faith. We look to the heavens. Every day we look down as we go through the traffic patterns of our life and look into the eyes of those people around us. We look toward them in compassion to be used of God to minister to them. And we look back on the life that we have lived up to this point in gratitude for what he has done. And then finally, we look forward, and we look forward in hope about what yet is to come. You know, the Bible talks about hope in a very strong, powerful way. You know, when we talk about hope, we talk about it as kind of a faint longing. Oh, I hope things work out, or I hope things might get better, that kind of a faint, weak, anemic kind of a way. But the Bible talks about a firm, positive expectancy of what the future is going to bring. That's what hope is. It's reflected in like this verse from Psalms number 5, where David said, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you, and listen to this, and I wait in expectation. That's hope. That's hope. That's moving toward what God has for us out there with a confidence that it's going to be good, and it's going to meet our needs, and that it's going to produce for us what he's promised he will produce for us. You know, when you get saved, when you turn your life over to Christ, at that moment, he becomes 100% committed to your future, to all that is to come. Ultimately, you end up in his presence in eternity in heaven, but every step of the way from that point forward, he's overseeing it. He is present, and he is committed to your well-being and your moving forward toward your ultimate goal that he has for you. Remember that verse in Philippians, it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. In other words, He's committed to your future. So we look forward in hope, and we move toward that hope every day, every day. You know, we have a yellow lab named Cooper. Cooper's about 5 years old now, and he's been funny dog and a challenge for us in a whole lot of ways, more than any other dog that I've ever had. He's the most energetic. This is, our third or fourth lab we've had as a family, but he's by far the most energetic one that we have. And I'll take him out to a field out near our house, and I have one of those curved plastic sticks, you know, that you pick the ball up off the ground and you launch that, you know, you can launch it out there 70 feet without hardly much of an effort because of that stick. And so my dog loves it, you know. So I'll throw it out there, and he'll run, get it, and he'll bring it back, throw it out there. And I've noticed that what he does now, as soon as I pick up that stick, and I haven't even thrown it yet, he takes off. And he's running, and he's just waiting for that ball to fall out of the air somewhere there in front of him. He's not even watching to see where I'm going to throw it. He just expects it to be there when he gets there. That's hope. That's hope. That's moving into the future with an expectation that God is going to provide and God is going to lay out in front of us the things that He has promised that He would provide for us moving forward. That's a picture of hope. So every day, when you look toward what is coming that day, do it in anticipation of what God has promised He would be for you and provide for you. Do it with hope. So Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If you're looking toward good things, if you're looking for good things will be produced within you. You'll be full of light. So let me encourage you today to look up in faith. As you think about the struggle that you have, whatever it may be, in this season of your life, surrender it to the Lord and let Him be who He has challenged or promised, rather, that He wants to be for you. And let's venture with that new level of freedom into the life that God has for us, because we have committed ourselves to trusting Him to meet those needs. Let's look up every day in faith. And let's, as Christians every day, keep our eyes open for those around us that we can reach out to and touch and encourage and help and bless. What greater purpose do we have in life? The accumulation of possessions, ultimately that will come to nothing. The approval of other people, ultimately, that's a fickle thing that comes and goes. What's really more important than ministering and connecting and loving and doing something good in the lives of others? Nothing. Witnessing to them. Let's look for opportunities to do that. Let's do it from an attitude in which we are appreciative of all that God has done for us and the place He's brought us to so far in life. And let's move forward boldly in the hope, looking forward to what God has still for us out there. Let's stand together, and I want to lead us in a prayer. And as I lead you in this prayer, afterwards we're going to invite you to make a response this morning. There's a place here at the front for you to come forward for prayer. Maybe just sitting where you are, you might want to turn your thoughts to the Lord in a real committed way this morning and look to Him. And whatever you need to do this morning that would help you take that next step toward what the Lord is calling you to today, I want you to do just that. Let's bow together. Father, thank You for Your people, and thank You for this day, and thank You for the hope of Your Word and for Your presence in our life. I pray, Father, today that each of us would have an outlook that would enable our lives to be full of light and possibilities. And that, Father, the, the temptation to draw our attention toward the things that our society promotes so often that are unhelpful, even corrupting, those things that are taking our thoughts away from you, your work through us, that we could set those aside and we could focus and we could invite into our life the greater work that you want to do in us and to do through us. Encourage your people today, Father, with the word that they've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.